Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Joyce Barry and Friends, the number one worldwide radio show. The show's outrageous and it's contagious. It will lift your spirits high, you'll feel that you can fly. Transform your attitude, fill it with gratitude. Cut loose and improvise, it's coaching time today. Joyce is a great coach with an extraordinary approach. Fast on the upbeat, top of the heap. A wild motivator, great stimulator. Unstoppable in a humoristic way. Life lessons with passion, joyfully today. You want Joyce as your coach if you want this to be your best year ever.
Coach Joyce here. I want this to be your best year ever. I want this to be my best year ever. I want this to be the best year ever for Dr. Bob Rutolo, his fabulous family, their friends. And we all want this to be the best year ever for all our friends, our family, and loyal listeners worldwide.
Joyce, Barry, and Friends, the number one radio show. You might be wondering why this is so. Memorable quotes, life lessons, and so much more. The Coach's Corner will make you soar. All outstanding guests that we love to feature. You will find the show to be the best teacher. Great authors like Tetsuya Yuba and Bernie Siegel. Awesome leaders that soar like an eagle. Beverly Nadler with Here's to Your Health. Home business opportunities to increase your wealth. Kurt's impersonation and improvisation add to the show's transformation. Broadcasting live across America and around the globe with timely topics and issues to probe. The chat room is always fun. We see your comments and appreciate each one. Want to change your life? Change your approach.
And hire me, Coach Joyce, to be your life coach. So, having said that, what a show we have today. We have with us Dr. Bob Rutolo, founder and CEO of Quantum Performance Institute. He talks about empowerment leadership, the magic of creating a leadership culture. There are qualities a great leader must possess, regardless of where he or she operates as the leader. Dr. Bob will inspire you to lead with authority, honesty, and integrity. My mentor, Stephen Emery, says a great leader gets his job done someone else's way. That always stayed with me. Stuart Emery, a great leader gets his job done someone else's way. You do not have to micromanage people. You just have to choose those that have the necessary skills, work hard, and are coachable. People with a positive attitude, show enthusiasm, and enjoy their work are assets to any organization. So without further ado, I bring to you a fabulous leader, a great author, a wonderful friend, Dr. Bob Rutolo. Welcome, Dr. Bob.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Joyce, for a wonderful introduction and really, really hitting the nail on the head as far as this topic and what we want to share with our audience today. It's all about creating a culture, and that's part of the role of a leader, is not only to lead by example and lead by some of the fundamental qualities that you shared with us, but also creating the environment, creating the culture all around them, surrounding them, so people could be reinforced every day and doing what they do best and living out their own shared purpose with others. So thanks for the introduction. Awesome.
We've all heard the expression, do as I say, not as I do. You don't want to be one of those leaders.
Not at all. Not at all. In the sense, rather than do what I say, it's really understanding what other people need and desire and what motivates them and excites them and converting your message in the sense of the direction where you want to go in a manner that they can identify with and they can share and say, yes, I want to be part of that. So it's really understanding that other and being able then to share your vision with them and having them embrace that vision and expand that vision. So having a vision, a common vision of the future, and what where you want to be right now is a critical part of leadership.
Absolutely. And sometimes leaders are made by those that have led them and they follow their lead mentors, coaches. Some of them are just born with those skills, wouldn't you say?
Very true. But I have a belief and a lot about leadership and how one sees leadership is about their belief system. So let me share a little bit with you about leadership. Many times leadership as a term, as a concept, is restricted to those who step forward, those who literally take the lead. My belief is that our challenge every day is to help every individual to see their leadership potential and their leadership ability. And I believe that comes from really their core competence, what they're good at, what their strengths are, and enable them to identify that. So if you really want to have an expansive concept or understanding of leadership, begin to see what excites people, what their abilities are, and helping them to grow mastery around that. Because it has to do with their self-esteem, about their confidence. And that happens with kids and families growing up. One of the important roles that parents have is really igniting that spirit in their child rather than tempering it. And that's difficult as a parent because parents are part of a parent's role is to socialize a child. In other words, help them to adapt and become part of a social group. And so often that is with don't do this, don't do that, you can't do this, rather than finding ways to be able to steer and direct them without so many no's and with a lot more yeses. So let me stop there for a moment.
Great starting point for sure, very important, because it's interesting, and if you have a lot of yeses and a no somewhere, the people latch on to that no. So if you can learn how to take that no and turn it upside down so it becomes N-O becomes O-N, that's very empowering.
Ooh, I like that, N-O to O-N, absolutely, absolutely.
That's a model that I've always used in sales, that I never hear the word no. I just twist it around, and that no turns me on. I don't use it as a last step in sales. I use it as my first step in sales and then decide where do I go from here.
Well, let's continue that sales model because you're absolutely right in leadership. And that another word that we can think about that helps us, and these are some of the things, I'm glad you're bringing them up because these words are tools. I mean, they're reminders, they're stimulators. But get the me and turn it to we. When you're thinking about in sales or anything else, even in a leadership role, usually you sort of think about me. What do I need to do? It's what do we need to do? How do we do it? How do I encompass that, turn that me to we? So that's really helpful as well. And also another one to remember is that there's no I in team. There's no I in team. So these are really some. And when I talked about a culture, Joyce, this is what I'm talking about, is how do we create things there in a technical term. In culture, we think about artifacts and tools. What are the things we go into a culture that defines that culture? Things we see when we walk into a house. You can walk around a house and you look around and say, oh, you can tell what their ethnic background is with their cultural background, what their spiritual beliefs are, how they even operate a family just by looking in the house and how it's set up. Do the same thing in a company. You walk into a business, and as soon as you walk in there, how they greet you, how they have the office set up, how they interact with each other is telling you about that culture. How they dress, how they interact with each other are all artifacts of their personal culture. So what we're thinking about is when we're talking to people now who are in a leadership role, who have that formal role, whether you're a parent, a business owner, a supervisor, a leader, you have been given the authority by the organization, family, business, whatever, nonprofit, you've been given. So now you have to take what does it mean to be in that formal leadership role? Part of it's creating that environment. What do I do every day? How do I greet my team members? How do I greet my family members? So the voice that goes on, or the voices in that environment, says an awful lot about their leadership style and what they think about how what they do to try to encourage others to accomplish what needs to be done.
I agree with you how that initial encounter is so important. That initial impression is so important. That's why we say, too bad we don't get a second chance to make a great first impression.
Very true, very true. And one of the things that I've learned that I've found very helpful in my life and when I'm working with others, and we all have it, which I love about this, is that we all have the basics to be successful in life and in business, in our family, in our social life. One of the basic tools we have that I hope I could share with others is practice smiling. That smile is so important. It's just getting that frown and turning it upside down so that, and if you begin to do that, even when you don't feel it inside, the world begins to brighten up for you because everybody you look at sees that smile and it almost is a natural response. It's almost like a yawn. You know when you walk into a room and people are yawning? Well, usually you wind up yawning yourself. It's almost a natural response, and smiling is the same way. So if we can learn to practice, and life is practice, life is discipline, business is practice, business is discipline. So just a smile makes a great difference for a great start, first impression. Would you agree with that, Joyce?
Absolutely. And it's contagious, and you know what? It doesn't cost you anything to smile. The difference when someone comes into an environment and they have that open, friendly look, they light up the room just as those negative people with the scowls light up the room when they leave it.
Absolutely. So, again, if you're in an office or in a family, the child comes in the room, a person comes in your office, and you're at your desk, and you turn around, the first thing you do is greet them with a smile. You're going to see them light right up. They might even come in with a problem or a concern or what have you. They'll see that smile, and they'll stop. And that will change initially their response. Then they'll bring out to you whatever it is, but now you're receptive. When you have put the smile on a face, you have opened yourself up to them to greet them. Now they will come in and they will sit down or stand up and share with you what the concern was. But you have already tempered it. You've already tempered it. And you also have taken, you've disarmed them if they came in with being aggressive or that sort of thing. So just a little simple thing like that can help so much to create that kind of environment that helps people to work better and live together.
I absolutely agree with that. And for my personal formula, that's 50%. And the other 50% to get instant rapport with people, I find something to acknowledge them for. I never lie. I never make it up. It's always real and genuine. It might be to a woman, oh, what a lovely scarf. Those colors are just fabulous. I find that thing that is really true for me that I can appreciate, and I open conversations with that. So between the smile and the acknowledgement, I've already have the rapport instantly.
Absolutely, Joyce, absolutely. And while we're sharing things like that, which are so important, because I refer to these as, if you're thinking about creating a leadership culture, think about things that could be helpful in you doing that, and creating the environment is so important. So one of the things I'd like to share with you and your audience, if you heard this from me before, it's a real simple formula, and I learned the title of the formula when I was in grammar school. I learned the five vowels, A-E-I-O-U. Most of us, hopefully, I don't even know if they teach that today. Do you know if they teach that in school today?
I think they do.
Okay. So,
I think
so hopefully,
they do. That was one of the basics.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, with new math today and new ways of learning, sometimes
yes,
these things go
yes.
out the window. Here we are dating ourselves, dating myself. Okay, but listen to these five vowels, and it's so simple. And you've named the first one, because A-E-I-O-U, A-E-I-O-U, and the A is for appreciation. So that one of the first things we want to do if we're building relationships and building a rapport and building a positive environment is to appreciate others. And the E is so important as well, is that expectations, role expectations. When I was thinking about creating a leadership culture in a family, one of the important things that parents have to do with children and with them amongst themselves is creating, clarifying expectations. Parents, whether they're mother or dad or parent or child, whatever, what is the expectations and having conversations about that. So often we just assume what the expectations are versus having a conversation because those expectations change. So that's the E in the five vows. The I, to be able to have a successful team, whether it's a family or a business, is involvement. And so if you express appreciation, you're engaging people. If you clarify expectations in your role and ask them by asking questions, what do you expect of me and what do you think I expect of you? Rather than making statements, great leaders ask questions. Great leaders ask questions. So rather than making statements, which you assume, well, I have the authority as a leader, I'm going to make a statement. No. You're going to communicate your message by asking a question because you want to find out where that person's coming from, what their expectations are of you, what their thoughts of you. And that creates involvement. When you have that dialogue around expectations, you have that dialogue around sharing appreciation with each other, and you do that by example, and you appreciate them, and then you might even ask them, is there anything that you appreciate about me? Because the reason why I want to know that is because I want to be able to continue that behavior that you appreciate. I want to continue that behavior that you appreciate, and that's helpful, really helpful. So now we have the A, we have the E, and the I. And so important is the next letter, the O, A-E-I-O. And O has to do with ownership. So if, again, once you know what your expectations are, your roles, then how do I know what is expected of me and how do I take ownership of that? In other words, being responsible for my own behavior. And so you're fostering that in the team by sharing with each member what they think they own. Meaning, and ownership has to do with is that what do we expect? What do you expect of me and how can I deliver that? And how can I do that in a way that helps us all be better around our common purpose, our mission, and our goal? So A-E-I-O-U, and the U has to do with understanding. So understanding is that, do I understand the other vows? Do I understand why we are here? Why we are here, and that's all about purpose. All about purpose. So that's a kind of a tool that we can share with each other in a family, in a business, and what have you, and get great mileage out of growing a leadership culture. And to me, that little acronym, the five vows, is magic when it comes to when you play it out and make it real.
Yeah, and I do like it a lot. May I ask where you got that model from, or is that a Barbutolo original?
No, I am so thank you for asking because you know where I got it from once I share that with you. I learned that from Dr. Ed Feiereisen, my partner and friend for many years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Ed created that and shared it with me, and I've used it forever. It's awesome. It's awesome. Yeah.
I always like to give credit where credit is due, always.
Oh, absolutely.
I love when people quote me. It's just important to me that they share when they take my poems, they put it in their books, on their website. I said, use it wherever, just give me credit for it.
Well, thank you for asking. And like I said, I'm so excited to share that. And just so you know, because I included you on my mailing list, again, in creating a culture, you want to get communication so important, and part of communication is messaging. In other words, getting messages out that help to reinforce that positive environment. So one of the things I've done with in my own organizations and the people I work with, I send out a daily message that reinforces many of these learnings that we have. And the reason why I share this with you is because that takes me back to Dr. Ed. Dr. Ed created many of the messages I use. And so when I send out a message to you and others, Joyce, look on the bottom of the page. If it's from Dr. Ed's creation, his name is there, because he's been just a great influence.
How do you spell his last name? He was on my show a few times.
He was on your show a few times, yes. Dr. Ed Feiereisen, it's Feiereisen. Feiereisen.
Feiereisen?
Yes. No, S-E-N. I'm sorry. S-E-N.
E-I-S-E-N.
Yes.
I ask because, folks, if you go to Joyce Barry and Friends.com, our homepage, and on the upper right in the search bar, if you put Dr. Ed Feiereisen, his shows will come up. If you put Dr. Bob Rutolo, Rutolo, his shows will come up. If you put topics you like, they will all come up together. So that is a very important tool that we have on our homepage, the search bar upper right. That's why I wanted to share with folks the spelling if they want to look up any of his shows. Feiereisen. And Dr.
Yes.
Bob Rutolo. So thank you for that. I like that a lot.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. Thank you. If we go back to this topic of leadership, Joyce, what's really kind of important for people to kind of think about is that the first thing leadership requires, and you made a wonderful opening statement about leadership, but for me, it requires a strong desire to share your purpose, beliefs, and know-how with others. To share your purpose, beliefs, and know-how with others for a common vision and a set of common goals. For a common vision and set of common goals. Because the vision is really tells us where we want to be, and the goals are how we get there, the actual actions we have to take. And so that's part of, to me, a leadership mindset. And then to create that, and then second, the culture is creating that environment around common values and beliefs that helps us to bring out our humanness. So often in environments, whether it's family environments or businesses, what have you, we forget about the human part of our existence, that the feeling part of it. We get so cerebral, and I do that too, and you know that. You ground me very often, Joyce. I get up in the concept world and way up there, and you say, Bob, that's too sophisticated. But you're absolutely right. I'm talking in concepts rather than in reality and making it real. So I thank you for grounding me in bringing those terms down to real life. So you've been very instrumental to me in that regard.
My pleasure, as always. Because if I have something to offer someone on your caliber, it makes me feel really good and really special that I can do that with people like you who I so deeply admire and respect.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much. And then also, you know, you bring up another really important characteristic about growing a leadership culture, and that is helping to understand the value each person brings, no matter who they are, no matter who they are and where they are. And I learned many lessons I've learned, but one lesson I'd like to share with you now is that I went into an organization in my consulting role, and the important part there was to just help to give this organization some feedback on their performance and to help them be even better. And so I walked around the organization, and I happened to go into the restroom. And I went into the restroom, and this person was actually cleaning the restroom. That restroom was immaculate. And so I began a conversation with this person. And I asked them how long they were there working, and they've been there for many, many years. And I asked them a bit about the organization. And my goodness, I was thoroughly, pleasantly surprised on how this person talked about what this place meant to him and to the customers that they served. And in my leadership session I had with the executive team later on that week, I congratulated them, first of all, on the people I had working for them. And I said to them, one of their biggest ambassadors I found in a place where it would be least expected in my mind, and that
right.
was in their restroom. Isn't that something?
Wow.
And this person was just unbelievable. So
I wonder if they did anything to recognize him. That's awesome.
Well, you know something? I just began the story, and they knew exactly who I was talking about. So this person had such a reputation for being a loyal employee, an honorable employee, one who helped them to be the kind of organization they wanted to be. So they created an environment where everybody, and someone would say in the lowest of positions because of what that person did, which I don't believe, but some people say that, this person was inspired by the organization that he was part of, and felt a part of that, and they knew him.
But what I'm saying, he was there so many years, they knew about it, they heard about it. If it was me as the leader, I would have found a way to move him up. I would have found that kind of person. I would have created a position somehow for that person.
I'm glad you mentioned that. I'm glad you mentioned that, Joyce, because that's one of the first thoughts I had when I came out of that. And so I said, what a valuable resource. I found out afterwards a bit about this person's background. I also had other conversations with this person, which we need to remember, is that some people like the station they are in their life. And that station could be any station in life. The question is, do they like, enjoy, and appreciate it? And this person did. They before they came to this position, they actually had a career in a funeral home, and a good career. But because of circumstances and life situations, this person wound up in this position, was comfortable in that role. It really created it filled a void in their life and enabled them to live out other parts of their life very fulfilling. So I said, oh, my God, that's a lesson here. We have to go back to the person. That person didn't want to move out of that role.
And given times change and years pass, was he given an opportunity? That's my question.
Yes.
I certainly would have given
opportunity. So there's two sides, and I'm so glad you mentioned it, was this person recognized and sought after from the point of view of other options, other career options? And he was. And he appreciated that. But he said no, because he had flexibility in this role. He knew it well. He mastered it. And also, too, he recognized his ambassadorship. That was an important part of his role. He spoke to people and made them feel comfortable. And everyone knew him. And so I learned from that we really – and then it's also – it's interesting. I do a program called Take Control of Your Career. Take ownership and take control of your career. And I tell people that they need to – as long as the organization is receptive to them – and gives them opportunity to choose and to develop their talents, and there's a good fit in the role. Many people desire to be, and I found this to be true, they're comfortable in their role. Now, there's important here, because sometimes comfortability isn't the best for us, because it doesn't challenge us, doesn't help us to grow. So really, one needs to be careful in the sense, is the person saying, no, I don't want to move because I don't think I can do it. No, I don't want to move because I'm secure here and comfortable. Or does a person actually get joy and fulfillment out of where they're at? These are the questions one has to ask before we decide, and it's a joint decision, on whether they move or don't move out of their current role.
Absolutely. And when it hits home on a very dream level, I think of all the people who won mega bucks in the lottery, and we've all heard of suicide, squandering all the money, being miserable. We've all heard of that. We've all heard of those that win the money and still don't quit their jobs for the reasons you're talking about. So
yes.
I do know what you're saying on a mega, mega, mega level, where when people win and they're just at a loss for how to deal with it, even with all the support systems in place and advisors, they're comfortable where they are.
Very true. You know, I mean, and life is a conditioning process. No matter where we are, the roles we have, what have you, we can. That's why we normally stay where we are. It's because of that kind of, we don't feel comfortable, and we haven't learned the skill set or the mindset of a new role, which takes time and transitions. So it's the question one has to ask, I guess, out there is very important, is that where does our joy come from? And if we are enjoying what we're at and comfortable there, that says something about whether or not we're ready to transition or transform into something else. And those are important questions.
Bob, it just so happens that I have an original poem about what you're talking about, and it's called Your Comfort Zone. So let me share that, since it really hits it on the head.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Your Comfort Zone by yours truly, Joyce Barry. Don't call your friends. Get off the phone. Time to get out of your comfort zone. Turn off your radio. Turn off the TV. I won't call you. Don't you call me. Really take heed of what I say. Get things accomplished every day. You have a goal, maybe two. How will you handle it? What will you do? You can go to a movie and have some fun, or you can work on your goals and get things done. The choice is yours. What will you choose? Do you want to win or think you will lose? Your thoughts will always determine your fate. Keep them positive. Keep them great. Make your list. Keep it real and take each goal and seal the deal. You can take small steps or a quantum leap as long as you're moving and not asleep. You will win at this and accomplish more. It'll make you happy each time you score. It's great to have a mastermind group. It's best to keep a coach in the loop. Just go for it. Don't fret or moan. Time to get out of your comfort zone.
And kudos to Ted Cuba, who takes my poems and puts them to music. So I just wanted to share that with you because it sort of encapsulates what we were talking about.
It was perfect. Perfect timing. And such a message, and such a message. So beautiful.
Thank you.
And
people get settled in. You're right. They may have opportunities and not want to leave that comfort zone. But I just felt someone like that, he should have been given the opportunities. You know, he could have been a receptionist at the company, at the front desk being the ambassador. You know, it could be a myriad of things, but everyone has their own reasons, and he felt important doing what he was doing, and so be it. I just would have liked to have known he had the opportunities.
Oh, absolutely right. I'm glad you asked, and he did, when you looked and discussed with this person the other roles he had in his life and what they played, this was a perfect fit for him at that time. And, you know, maybe a year later, 2 years, it might have changed, but he was in the kind of the sunset years of his life, and this role was so important, part of his socialization, part of his feeling of being part of that organization. And so it really was, for him at that time, was a good mix.
Are you still in touch with that company? I'm just curious.
Yeah, no, I'm not. No, this was several years ago when I was traveling to Louisiana and working with this company. But I, since then, many things have changed, and so I'm no longer engaged with them. Matter of fact, the general manager of that organization moved from that organization. And many times with my clients, that happens. The leadership moves, and then I usually move with the leadership.
Yes. It just struck me. It was so powerful. That's why it did make an impact on me. Thank you for sharing that story. It was very impactful.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then one of the things that, I mean, I really love that poem you made, and you said it so well. Today, when I shared a message today on boredom, and it said boredom doesn't come cheap, because lots of times people are bored, but because they're afraid to move out of their current space. And so, you like you said, you have to force yourself, to think differently and take those necessary steps. So you did such a beautiful job with that. Thank you for sharing. That's neat.
You're most welcome. And folks, I want to share something else with you, and that is an original poem by our health guru, Beverly Nagler, and why this show is good for your health.
Listen to me. I have something to say about a wonderful way to start your day. A way to stimulate your mind and increase your energy, make you feel so good. And guess what? It's free. Weekdays at 11 a.m. Eastern, hear the Joyce, Barry, and Friends show. You'll find it on the internet, on Blog Talk Radio. This show is upbeat and fun and very inspirational. It's informative, educational, and very motivational. There's the Coach's Corner, great quotes and news. There are suggestions, perspectives, and advice you can use to enhance your life and improve your health, plus clever, simple ways to increase your wealth. Joyce's perceptions and personality will keep you captivated, and her guests from many walks of life will always keep you fascinated. When Joyce and her friends speak, it's like you're in the conversation. This is part of what makes her show so unique, really a sensation. For Joyce's friends are not only the guests you're listening to, they're everyone who is tuning in. Yes, I do mean you. So refer your friends and family. They'll be so pleased to know. And let's make Joyce, Barry, and Friends the number one internet radio show.
And folks, we ask that you partner up with us in having that happen. Simply go to Joyce Barry, B-A-R-R-I-E, and friends.com. And on the upper left, you'll see my picture, and right under that, it says follow. And simply by clicking on follow, you will know about our shows, our guests, our topics via email. And please join the many thousands who have become loyal followers so you need not miss any show. We have world-renowned psychic Peter Marks who will be joining us this Friday, where you can call in and get a free on-air mini reading. So our powerful leaders, friends, people like Dr. Siegel, Ted Siuber, certainly Dr. Bob, are welcome repeat guests because they have so much to offer all of us. I just want to share some of my leadership quotes, and then I'm going to turn it back to Bob because I want to hear from him on what it takes to be a great leader in your own home. I assert that one of the most difficult tasks or jobs in the world is to be a great parent. So here's some of my favorite leadership quotes. To add value to others, one must first value others, by John Maxwell. Herb Kellner said, a company is stronger if it is bound by love rather than by fear. Thomas Jefferson, nothing can stop the man with the right mental attitude from achieving his goal. Nothing on earth can help the man with the wrong mental attitude. Dave Weinbaum, those who let things happen usually lose to those who make things happen. Winston Churchill, success is not final. failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts. And Theodore Roosevelt, in a moment of decision, the best thing you can do is the right thing. The worst thing you can do is nothing. So those are some quotes I wanted to share with you. And Dr. Bob, I'd like to hear what it takes to be a great leader in your own home.
Well, thank you for that. That's such an important role, and many times you don't recognize that. let me take some common terms that are used in business that we have to be able to possibly use in our family. Parents have a unique set of roles as a parent. They are owners of the family. They have been given the authority and the responsibility to head up that family, and they're usually co-owners, depending on how they work on their own relationship, husband and wives, or spouses. But they have to define that role, ownership role. They have to recognize when they're raising children that those children, over time, are co-owners of that family. In other words, they have a need to have a sense of ownership. What's really interesting is that, like in a business, all owners aren't equal partners. They aren't equal partners. They distribute that ownership depending on contribution. So that's kind of interesting. We can use those same terms in a family. I was thinking of my grandchildren. I have two grandchildren, and these kids, I have four grandchildren, but two of the youngest ones, oldest ones are now on their own, but the youngest ones in the family, I said, what can I do to help them learn and understand what it is to be an active part of that family? Well, both of these kids are involved in sports, and so they know what it is to be a player, and they're really understanding now team sports. So they're 4 years old, and no, 6 years old and 10 years old. And so I can use that analogy of being a team member on what it's like to be in a family, that they have to play out their part. They have to learn what that role is, and they have to practice that role, and that role will change. And so if the parents can use that example, too, that we're all a team and we're different players on that team. But, again, a parent is not only an owner, they're a coach. And some of these kids are old enough to know what a player coach is. A player coach is one who plays equally on a team. They have a part to play in that team, and they practice that particular position, and they play it. At the same time, they coach other members of the team, so they're a player coach. And they all share in the benefits of the outcome of that team. So I really like to, because sometimes we get caught up in I'm the parent, I'm the child, oh my goodness, there's a division. But if we can look at what are the roles that we share together and how we distribute the tasks and the responsibilities, but also the joy of accomplishment, the joy of what carrying out their role. With my grandchildren, their parents are owners of a business, a young business, and they're doing very well. And so they see their parents spending a lot of time in the business. But here's an opportunity to understand the value of what that business brings to the family. So these are just some of the – we need to make connections that help bring us together and show the importance of what we do to live together, a life together in a family. So those are just
and
some
every
thoughts
family is different, and they have their own
yes.
roles. How many families do you know where the parent is in the role of the child and the child is in the role of the parent?
Very true, very true. And kids can learn so much about that in the sense that, well, let's put it this way. I'm glad you brought that up. And if the child assumes the parent role and the parent assumes the child role, we really get out of kilter, don't we? It's fine for a little while. In other words, I love to see parents and children playing together as children. But if they stay in that role, that household's in trouble. And the other way around, if the children start governing the house, which happens many times, because the parents just give in to the kids and shirk their responsibility to take the parental role, that family's in trouble.
Well, I want to say something on behalf of that. I was born as a leader. I was in charge from kindergarten on. I was always in charge of whatever. So I did assume that role in the house where I would say, I want this and do that. It wasn't that they shirked it in the sense. They weren't afraid of me. I don't mean it in anything like that. It was just easier to give in to me than to deal with me. I'm not saying right or wrong or what. But it was just a role that I was born with. I was always in charge. So just as one example, when my mom, when we lived, and in those days where we lived, you didn't need a car. Everything was walking distance, literally everything. And we had transportation on every corner, cabs, trains, buses, so we didn't need a car. But my mom wanted a car. And she asked my dad to get one, and he just didn't think it important because, as I said, we had access to transportation everywhere. I was the one that had it happen. So I'm just using that as one example. I'm not saying it's a good thing, a bad thing, but I just took charge, and that's the way it was.
Where were you in the family order?
Where was I? Joyce, Brooklyn, New York. I grew up in Brooklyn.
No. Were you the oldest child, youngest child? And
yes.
Where were you?
By 3.5 years, I was the oldest child, yes. And
okay.
My sister resented
that.
The fact that I got everything, and she didn't want anything. No matter what they asked her, she didn't want it. I didn't ask for things. I told them, get me this, get me a bike. I just... that was my person. I wouldn't say I grew up too bad, but I did
personality. Where the person is in the nominal order of a family makes a big difference. You are first child. There's such a big difference, and so many studies done on this with regards to where the sibling is. We've all heard of the youngest child, and the middle child, and the oldest child, but you have the typical first child syndrome, which is I mean that in a positive way. Syndrome sometimes doesn't mean positive, but so clearly. I married a first child, and what happens is because of your position in the family, you take on a parent role, authority role, and the other siblings fall in line, and they sometimes rebel. And they react against that role, and then you work it out as you grow older. But you never lose your position in the family as first child. Absolutely not.
But I always had that mentality. Just one more example. In junior high school, they were auditioning for the talent show. Student talent show. So I go in and I said, I'm auditioning to be the MC. So they said, we have never, ever had a student MC. The teachers MC the talent show. What talent do you have? I said, my talent is to be the MC, and that's what I want to do. So they relented. They finally said, does your voice carry? I said, my voice will carry over a mountain, over an ocean. Yes. And I was the MC. So I always had to be in charge, always, in every environment.
That's beautiful. What happens, though, let me give you an example of what happens, is that very true. You need to be top dog by where you are in that sense. However, it takes its price in this sense. And this is part of life's journey. People who are naturally in leadership roles, one of the most difficult things they have is to relent those roles, to let them up so that others can grow in those roles. And this happens in many times in organizations where they stifle the leadership of others because of their need to be in leaders. I mean, this is in entrepreneurial businesses. One of the most difficult things in entrepreneurial single and especially family-owned businesses is to allow the one who leads the business to allow it to let go to their either their siblings or to their children. To their siblings, so to their children. So yeah, it's where we are. I got to give an example about growing up. I was so fortunate. I was the second. There's only two of us in the family, but my brother was one of these assertive people who took on leadership and also wasn't too good with authority figures. And so as growing up, I had a wonderful opportunity. I watched my brother and did the opposite and got along really well. Because he helped me to socialize better. I said, Gavin, thank you for all the mistakes you made, because you made me be able to learn from those mistakes and be able to get through life a lot easier than you did. So you set lessons for your siblings no matter what you do. So really, family dynamics.
As I said, I didn't turn out too bad. But in the business model of being in charge, I did know how to delegate. So I did give people authority. I made them feel important. I never did a class, a seminar, without a whole team of people supporting me logistically and everything else. But they loved it. These were non-paid people who just loved being around the environment. So I did assimilate with that very well. Let me just share a few more quotes before I turn it back to you. Leadership is about others, not ourselves. Leaders who give the best of themselves get the best from others. If you do not take care of the little things over the long term, you won't take care of the big things. Leaders who underestimate the intelligence of their employees generally overestimate their own. Great leaders appreciate their employees, not just their contributions. And don't worry about leaving your leadership legacy. Just live it now, go forth and lead. But that one in particular, leaders who underestimate the intelligence of their employees generally overestimate their own. And I just have to quote from a leader that we all know that shall remain nameless. When asked, what are you most thankful for, this person, and the $64,000 question, most of you will figure it out, what are you most thankful for? He said, myself. And that's why in that organization, countless people were fired, quit, unhappy, leaked information, and all of the above. What are you most thankful for? Myself. And that was from someone who was a leader that shouldn't be leading, that shall remain nameless. Have you heard Bob? Dr. Bob, did you know that? That quote had recently come forth?
I think I've heard this before. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Yes. And I know who you're referring to.
So what about a nonprofit? How does that show up in nonprofit leadership?
Well, you know, I've learned over the years that in operating and leading a nonprofit is really no different in leading a successful for-profit. A matter of fact, it's a misnomer. Unfortunately, what happens is it's really an accounting, a tax and accounting function versus the way you operate an organization. So when I work with nonprofits, which I do very often, one of the things I look at is their leadership to see whether or not they understand how to operate as a successful business. So let me share this with you because it's very important. It's all about wealth creation. Unfortunately, there's two concepts I share in my leadership model, and that has to do with health and wealth creation. Unfortunately, we limit the meaning of those terms, and many often in organizational life, whether it's profit or nonprofit. We limit the health creation to your health benefits, your physical well-being, and sometimes your social well-being. And the concept of wealth, we look at a person's or an organization's wealth more in line with their financial assets and their bank accounts and how they're managing their cash flow and that sort of thing. So limited. Because, as a matter of fact, the most important wealth that an organization has is its human assets. Because if it understands and leads and manages its human assets effectively, it will create all the financial wealth in the world that it needs to for it to be successful. And around health creation, if you think about health from the point of view of wellness and wholeness, then you think about the health from the point of view of emotional, social, physical well-being. And so I ask organizations to begin to broaden the meaning of those concepts and foster it every day. And matter of fact, part of every person's responsibility in an organization is to contribute positively to its health and wealth creation. So just getting used to the use of language and redefining terms in a more effective way will move a leadership culture and enhance the performance of an organization. Does that make sense?
Yes. Everything you say, Dr. Barr, makes sense. So what I'd like you to share now that'll make sense is your closing message. What message, as we wrap up here, do you want to leave with our folks?
Well, the message I want to leave to folks around leadership, it was mentioned in some of the earlier sayings you said and some of your own verses, is we don't often use the term and think of the term of love as being part of leadership. It is really central to leadership. Loving yourself and loving one another and loving those people whom you serve in your leadership role. Leadership needs to be thought about as serving others. And in serving others, I receive and I actually serve myself. So it's really a servant leadership in that sense. And love is leadership is both mind and heart. Mind, heart, and hands. Mind, how I think about others, how I care about others, what we want to do together. Heart is to be able to have caring and having harmony with others. And hands is what do we need to do and accomplish to be mutually successful. I want to just leave those thoughts with your audience. And thank you for the opportunity to be with you today.
And thank you for another outstanding show, another great message. Folks, if you are heeding the words of Dr. Barr Rutolo, if you took away from this program, when are you going to go into action and make that difference? And my question to you is, if not now, when? Joyce Barry and Friends, the number one worldwide internet radio show. This poem, an original by yours truly, is entitled, If Not Now, When? We are giving you the education. We are giving you the information. We are giving you the motivation. We are giving you the inspiration. What you really need to do is to put this into application. Do you want a transformation? You must use your imagination. It might take some perspiration. It's all in the preparation. You must really be sure there is no procrastination. It helps to have a fascination and very strong determination. You want a positive demonstration, achieve success in the administration. It really is the time. Give each show your consideration. What is your aspiration? What do you need for stimulation to get healthy and off that medication? To get wealthy, it's your destination. So make today the day for your participation. If you do, congratulations. If not, now, when? A heartfelt thank you to you, Dr. Bob. Great show. I really appreciate you and all that you contribute to me and to the show. And folks, my closing message to all of you in the form of a personal prayer, may yesterday be the last day, the very last day of your struggles, your suffering, your ill health, your misfortunes, your problems, your pain, your worries, your troubles, your trials and tribulations. May today be the first day. It is the first day of the rest of your life. May it be the beginning of the very best of your life with extraordinary wishes granted and dreams coming true. Make this the most meaningful year of making more money, good health, good luck, good fortune, attracting special people and opportunities, creating magical memories, and manifesting marvelous miracles. Folks, go out and make someone happy today. Pay it forward. Pay it backward. Do a random act of kindness, and we want to make you happy. So join with us right here, right now. Sing along with us, dance along with us, and laugh along with us to the Joyce Barry Mash. Thank you, and God bless you.
I was listening to Blog Talk Radio when my ears heard something that I did know. From the speakers of my laptop, I heard a voice. It was the White Oprah, also known as Joyce.
He did the mash.
The Joyce Barry Mash.
Joyce Barry Mash.
She is a coaching smash.
He did the mash.
You'll catch on in a flash.
He did the mash.
The Joyce Barry Mash. I felt so inspired by her show, and her poetry was just so good, you know. I want to listen to Joyce again and again, as Joyce would say, if not now, when?
He did the mash.
The Joyce Barry Mash.
Joyce Barry Mash.
She is a coaching smash.
He did the mash.
You'll catch on in a flash.
He did the mash.
The Joyce Barry Mash.
Wow.
Joyce knows all about having fun.
Wow.
She's a home business wizard and she's just begun.
Wow.
She's
wow.
a coaching sensation for not just me or
wow.
you or her. It's for everyone.
Then you can mash.
Do the Joyce Barry Mash.
Joyce Barry Mash.
She's a home business smash.
Then you can mash.
You'll catch on in a flash.
Then you can mash.
Do the Joyce Barry Mash.
Wow.
Have a fantastic day and listen to Joyce Barry and Friends.